people of God said,
amen.
If you've been blessed this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you know there is a God, say amen.
Amen.
If you can see God in your life, if God touches you, if God is relevant to you, say amen.
Amen.
You know, I walk us through these verbal exercises on Sunday mornings as I began my message, because I want you to know that there are people in the world who don't share our religious belief.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking doctrine. I'm talking about a belief in a higher power. I'm talking about a belief in a deity to whom we owe our allegiance. I'm talking about a God that spoke and this world came into existence. And there are individuals in the world today who won't even acknowledge that there is a God. It seems sometimes that the more intelligent we become as individuals, as humans, in our society, we have a tendency to think that we bring upon ourselves our own fortunes and misfortunes, that we are often the determiner in our lives. And so I walk us through these verbal exercises at the beginning of my sermons oftentimes just to put us back in touch with the fact that there is a God, amen? That's why we're here this morning. We believe and we live by a power that sustains us, that blesses us, and that keeps us. Amen?
Amen.
And it is important that we remind ourselves on occasion. So, you know, sometimes when your preacher asks you to repeat certain things, he's not just doing it just to have it done because he saw some other preacher do it or some other congregation does it. We need to establish and determine our own relationship with God. Amen? And we need to know who God is in our lives and believe that there indeed is, in fact, a God who rules and who reigns today. This message was designed, the message that I'm going to share with you this morning was designed to follow last Sunday morning's message. And last Sunday morning's message, we talked about how to win your own battles. And more importantly, what we talked about was how that oftentimes we win because God fights those battles for us. Amen?
Amen?
And so we looked at a story in Scripture that kind of acquainted us with the fact that sometimes all God wants us to do is to see Him work in our lives. And so this sermon was going to follow that this morning or yesterday evening, last Sunday evening, and touch on the notion or the idea of how to see your blessings in the middle of disaster. How to see your blessings in the middle when the storms of life come, and they will come, amen?
Amen.
And if you don't have any, you know what I'm going to say next, right? Just keep on living. When the storms come, it's not important that the storm comes. It's important that you see God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to find out if our media people have my PowerPoints on the screen there. I can only delay so long. Take a real close look at that picture. That picture is recent, 19th of May. What do you see? You see disaster. You see a family holding on to one another. You see a crumbled life around them. You don't have to know anything about the story. The picture says a lot. The picture shows you thankfulness, doesn't it? The picture in the middle of whatever happened, whatever traumatized them, something brought them together. Maybe the sheer fact that they are still alive. Amen. You've heard people say, that which doesn't kill you. You've heard people say, this too. The family from Tulsa, Oklahoma, underwent the scariest experience of their life on yesterday when their mobile home was carried over 130 miles. Listen to the story, y'all. By a tornado, an F4. The highest is F5, I believe. Landing in rural Kansas. Where did we start? Y'all paying attention. That's so good. That is so good. Landing in rural Kansas. 5 members of the same family were inside the building. Now, this building is a mobile home, though. So don't get it twisted. Inside, anybody ever been inside a mobile home? Nah, I'm not casting aspersions on the mobile home. I'm just trying to get you to see. When you see building, you see one thing in your mind. When you see mobile home, you see something else, right? You see a frailty in terms of the building. You see, as opposed to a brick structure, right? Yeah. I want you to see, and I want you to feel the story. All of them miraculously survived without injury. Say amen. Let me give you a little bit more detail. 41-year-old Dorothy Williams was at home with her husband, her son, her 2 brothers. And that says family. That says people you care about. That says people you're close to. That says people you love. When her mobile home was lifted off the ground by an F4 tornado, powerful winds reaching more than 220 miles an hour carried and shook the mobile home for 4 hours and 18 minutes. I don't know who was counting. But 18 minutes is enough for me. 18 minutes is enough for me. And sometimes at an altitude of more than 1,000 feet, after carrying the house across, I mean, you thought Dorothy. You thought Dorothy was a fantasy, didn't you? You thought Dorothy was a fairy tale, didn't you? Carried this house across northern where did they start? How do you wind up in northern California? Northern Colorado. Southern Kansas. They finally dropped it on a car just outside of Wichita. 129 miles. Away from its port of origin. People said that the trailer home hit the ground at a rate of 90 miles an hour. And they walked away. Say amen. They walked away. They walked away. Now turn to the Bible, so look back. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats there. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night. We took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." Say amen.
Amen.
Say at your word.
At your word.
At your word, Lord.
At your word, Lord.
That's what that means is because you said so, Lord. Mm-hmm. What that means is, you know, I might have my own idea about things, Lord, but you said something else. And I was getting ready to go home. I had given up, oh Lord. And I knew there were no fish in the water there, Lord. And so I, but at your word, Lord, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. And their nets were breaking. And they signaled their partners to come in the other boat, come help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Did you see the disaster there? Did you see the disaster? Where is the disaster in the story? The Bible says that they're what? What break? The nets were breaking. Not only were the nets breaking, the boats. The boats were sinking. But don't miss the blessing, y'all. Don't miss the blessing. See, when you look at this scripture and you look at the earlier narrative, what you find out is that they had been struggling all night long. They had been fishing all night long. Didn't catch one. Now, Sam, I'm going to tell you something, my brother. I don't understand your patience. That's how come you don't see me fishing too regularly. Because if I haven't caught something in 30 minutes, that's my time, folks. That's my, I'll buy the fish. HEB got catfish, all right? All right, I mean, so you got to love fishing, right? All night long. Not Brother Thompson. I'm not casting aspersions on Brother Sam and Brother West. See, somebody else and Brother Brent and his whole family. If I remember, y'all like fishing, all right? But all night long. That's a whole lot I can do all night long. Better than sitting up with a dry hook. What you don't see is that these professional fishermen had been out all night long and hadn't caught anything. But then along comes the Master. Along comes Jesus who feeds them twice. Who feeds them. See in John the 6th chapter, when the 5,000 are fed, Jesus feeds them the physical food first, and then feeds them the spiritual food secondly. Here is a reverse order. He feeds them spiritually. He got out in a boat and he
walked and he got out in the middle of the water so that he could speak to the crowd that was gathered around him, and he fed them spiritually. And then because they were patient and listened to him, because they had fed sumptuously on the spiritual word of God, he decided, I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to feed you now physically. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need.
And so, he said, go out in the water a little further. See, I want you to see this. What did Peter say here? Peter says,
at your word, Lord.
Some of us need to realize that sometimes, we are mechanical in our thinking. We don't see God, and we don't take the time to see God. We think that in order for God to bless us, we need to have something in our hands. We need to realize that God, what we really need to realize is that God didn't need the middleman to bless you. He doesn't need Ben Franklin. He doesn't need Jackson. He doesn't need Washington to bless you. He can just pour the blessing on you right now. And sometimes we because we think mechanically, because we think and we limit God on how God blesses us, and we refuse to see that even sometimes in our own struggles, that God's giving us more than we need. Last Sunday's lesson was about God winning your battle, but asking you just show up and watch him do it. This morning's lesson is about how to see him do it.
Well,
how when you don't know how he's going to do it, when he does it unconventionally, when he does it when you think you're all by yourself, watch him do it. How to see him do what he does so very well.
Sometimes we have a car wreck and we want to complain about the fact that we had a wreck. We want to complain about the fact that somebody ran into me. Now I got to pay my deductible. I don't know about you, but in order to keep my rates down, I go for the highest deductible. What I'm really saying is I hope I never have a wreck. That's what I'm saying, right? Because I really don't want to pay the deductible, all right? And so when somebody bumps into me, when somebody, you know what it's like to get a brand new car? Brother Landon, you know what it's like to get a brand new car, right? When you parked it somewhere. First of all, when you park that brand new car, you park it way out in the boonies. You don't park it in front of HEB, you park it way down by the road. In a slot all by itself. And then you get upset when people park next to you. I don't understand why. If you want to get your car scratched, park it by itself. I guarantee you two people are going to park on either side of you, and you're not going to be able to get inside. But back to the story. Here's the point I'm making. When God gives us something, and when we have our little precious assets, the thing that breaks our heart is that first dent, that first scratch, that first disappointment. You want to take it back to the dealer and get another one. You don't realize you didn't walk where you were. Help me, y'all. Help me, y'all. You didn't realize that even after the wreck, you got the money to pay.
Am I by myself here this morning?
You don't realize you're in a wreck, but the house is 129.5 miles, 1,000 feet in the air, at 220 miles an hour, landed, crash landed, 90 miles an hour, and you walked away. Yes. Yes, Some of you are unemployed. And you're looking for work. You're looking everywhere. But you're not starving. I'm sorry, y'all didn't hear me. You came here from a house this morning. You drove here this morning. You got some gas in your car, and the last time I filled up, it cost me $50. I'm upset. I'm upset every one of those $50 because I can see it somewhere else. I can use it somewhere else. And I'm sitting there and complaining. But I got a car. Amen. No, wait a minute. I got two.
Amen.
Y'all. Unemployment came just as you got your little nest egg. And now your nest egg is getting you through the...
Amen. Amen.
Do you know what it means when Scripture tells me that God is omnipotent, He's omniscient, and He's omnipresent? You know what that means, the preface to the word that describes God in His omniness is all. He's all-powerful, He's all-seeing, and He's everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
He's everywhere. So even when you complaining about your storm, He's with you at the end of your storm. Amen. That you haven't even gotten there. When because He's all knowing, He can answer the questions in your mind, Sister Mary, that you haven't even asked. Amen. He can answer your question that you don't even know. Don't you know that my God knows what you're thinking before you know you?
So
if He can see all of that, then you and I ought to know that He can see the storm and He can see beyond it. And sometimes all He wants you to do is what those folks did in that trailer home. All what could they do? Oh, no, it could be one thing. Well, pray. But you know, have you ever been too scared to pray? You ever been in a situation? Do you know how sometimes emergencies come, disasters come on us so quickly that it's over before we even realize it happened? And sometimes all you can do, before you even get a chance to say, oh my God, you say that, but you never even see it after. So what you do in the midst of it is just hold on.
Amen.
Just hold on. Why, Brother Thompson? Because God's got this. He's got this.
I just want to punctuate our lives. I just want to punctuate us a little bit. Sometimes the fact that you got sick in the doctor's office.
You're looking at a person whose heart stopped beating in the doctor's office. And the doctor, when it went down, the doctor looked at me and said, Mr. Thompson, you in the right place. Amen. That's because God saw my day before I saw my day. Amen. And moved me to, I don't know about you, but I truly believe God is real and He's alive in my life. That's why I ask you, is you believe God blesses you. Now see, if God doesn't bless me, then that day I would not have been in the doctor's office. I don't think that was my own ingenuity. As a matter of fact, I wasn't planning on going. Sister Thompson was the one who said, I think you ought to go. No, come on, let's go. Okay.
Well,
Say thank you, Sister Thompson.
I've already said thank you.
We focus too many times on the trouble. What troubles in your life?
I could delineate some of the troubles that's in this audience.
Pharaoh, you know your trouble, amen.
Amen.
You know your soul. There's been moments and times and nights when you have wondered how you're going to get through it. And I'm not discounting the storm, folks. I had an individual, we sing a song that says, if you can't get by this little storm, you know. I had a sister come to me and tell me that my storms are little. And I agree with you. Because to you, your storms aren't little. They are major. They are traumatic. They encompass more than you can even comprehend, but they're nothing to God. And so little is from whose perspective? From whose perspective is your storm little? From God's. Why? Because God's got this.
The Lord is the only one that can allow a bad thing to happen at a good time. Oh, y'all think about that. Y'all think about that. God lets things happen to us, bad things happen to us at a good time. Because, see, some of us won't see him otherwise. Some of us won't focus. Some of us won't call. The only time we call on God sometimes is when we're in trouble. Sometimes the only time we call on God, we remember that last Sunday's message says we ought to start blessing God and thanking God before we have the problem. Before we see God even fix it, we just need to get on our knees sometimes and say, Lord, thank you for fixing it.
Amen.
You sing a song. Anywhere you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Do you mean that? What you just said is, Lord, I don't care how you bless me. But yes, we do. Yes, we do. We want to tell God how to bless us. We want to tell God when to give us the blessing and exactly how. See, God wants to bless us in situations so that we will know that nobody else could bless me this way. That we will know that Paul said it this way. Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter, he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. How? In heavenly places, okay? With every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We need to adopt the spirit of the psalmist in Psalm 84 and 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and he is a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk upright. What that passage says, if you walk with God, if you trust him, if you believe in him, that he will not withhold no good thing. And now, here's the problem. You can't tell God how to bless you.
Amen.
There's a passage that that Matthew records for us on the Beatitudes, and he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for not only will they see God, they look for God in everything that happens to them. That's why they're pure in heart. Okay? Theirs will be the kingdom of heaven because they walk with God. And so, in this lesson today, Jesus tells these fishermen, after he has fed them spiritually, he says to them, let down your nets. Let them down for a catch. For a catch. What are you struggling with today? What have you tried and you have now given up on, because these have given up on? Your doctor said some bad news to you and you didn't like the bad news, but you've given up. What have you stopped praying for? Why are you leaving God? I challenge folks, I just don't understand when things just don't go your way, you leave God. I don't know why that happens. Do you? Are we embarrassed? Let's explore that for a moment. Are we embarrassed when things happen in our lives and so we can't afford to be around and with the people who love you already? Who love you unequivocally? You see, for your life, for me to love you and for you to be my brother, your life doesn't have to be perfect. As a matter of fact, if I see some imperfection in your life, you know what I do? I kind of celebrate the fact that there is some imperfection in your life, because there's a whole lot of imperfection in mine. And so when disaster comes and when trials comes and when trouble comes and when the storms come, I'm going to hang around the rest of you guys who've been through some similar stuff. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You know, God wants us to trust him. And in order to trust him, he puts us in places outside our comfort zone. You think, you need to read the story of the family of Wichita. And if any of you want it, just send me a text, I'll send you a link to that. But you need to read the story of this family and what they were thinking and how they were struggling when all of this was going on and how they were going to try to get out. I'm having a storm right now. And sometimes they need to be able to see God. This family didn't know how they were going to survive what they survived. They just held on. They didn't know who else to turn to, where else to turn. It 4 hours was an eternity, I'm sure, for them. And I'm sure their faith and their doubt and they described the trailer home that they were in like a plane without wings. That's exactly what they were in. A plane without wings. I don't know about you, I like to sit on the side of the window side, and I like to look out and see where I am. The most interesting thing to see from 30,000 feet is the patchwork of land and property. You know how you look out and you see that? And while you're looking out, then you get a little bit of turbulence. And you then you realize you don't have legs to stand on. And in your mind, something goes, I hope. I was talking to Ben this morning, and Ben was talking to me about flying, and he was saying he was comparing the flight that his sister was on versus the flight that he was on, and he says, I can't stay in the air that long. I'm trying to talk to us this morning and walk us through some things that God wants us to know, how vulnerable we are, but at the same time, how powerful he is. Amen. Brother West, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 8, please. Let's look at that real quickly, and then the lesson's going to be yours. This sermon was just some medicine for the soul, gal. That's all I'm trying to do, is to touch us who are challenged and who are hurting. Here's Paul in the middle of his storm. Verse 8, if you have that, please read it.
For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about trouble which came to us in Asia.
Yes.
That we were burdened beyond measure.
Now we oftentimes say that God won't give us something that we can't handle. He won't put on us things more than we can stand. And this passage here says that's not true. Amen. This passage here says God will put on you more than you can handle. Amen. Now you got to think about that.
See, Brother Ronnie, if you can handle it, you're not going to call on God.
Well,
say amen, y'all.
Amen.
If you can handle it, why do you need God? Amen. I don't need God for stuff I can handle. That's my problem. I'm telling God too many times, God, I got this, when I don't got this.
All you teachers in here, please forgive me for butchering the English language. But sometimes we need to realize we ain't got it.
And so Paul is saying that here we are in the middle of our affliction. Read it again. Say it again.
We do not want you to be ignorant of trouble which came to us in Asia.
Yeah.
We were burdened beyond measure.
God put on me more than I can handle. When he put it on me, it brought me to my knees. When he put it on me, I couldn't look up. When he put it on me, I didn't know where to go. When he put it on me, I gave up on life. When he put it on me, I didn't know who to call. When he put it on me, everything went black. Read.
Above strength. So that we would despair even of life.
And I gave up, Paul says, I almost became suicidal. And there are people, there are Christians who have given up on God, who have seen problems and challenges beyond what they could handle. And they didn't see the God in the middle of the storm. In our narrative this morning, they are being fed by my Lord Jesus. The storm is the neck breaking. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay that my necks are breaking. Because God got another net. And he's got more fish. And so let the net break. I'll just take whatever I got. It doesn't matter that my boat is sinking.
Amen.
Somewhere I remember that Jesus told one of his disciples, get up on the water and walk. That's all right. That's all right. In the middle of the storm, when we despair, don't give up completely.
Yeah.
Read.
Yes, we have the sentence of death on our We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
Say amen, y'all.
Amen. Amen.
See, Paul shared his story and shared how he saw God in the middle of his disaster. Acts 27 chapter. Paul's in the middle of a storm, a real storm. Ships breaking up. And God's talking about him being in front of Caesar. Did you hear what I said? Let's go back to the omnipresence omnipotent, omniscient. Paul's sinking. The ship has come apart. They can't drink all the water. And because God is not only with Paul there, he's with Paul when he's in front of Caesar, and he's talking to Paul in the middle of the storm about what he's going to say to Caesar when he gets there. When you and I get in the middle of your storm, talk to God, because he's the best person in the world to talk to, and talk to him about, Lord, when you bring me through this, thank God. I know you wanted me to learn something, but Lord, when you bring me through this, allow me to talk to somebody else who's going to be in this storm a little later on, and so I can help them get through this storm. Lord, make a witness out of me so that my testimony can help somebody else, because I know you're going to save me. What you going to do next, Lord?
Amen.
There are so many stories in Scripture. Matthew 14, we just need to see this just for a moment. Just for a moment. Matthew 14, verse 28. This is, we're going to be talking about this. Come out on Wednesday night, because we're going to look at this story in the book of John. But there's something about this story that happened in Matthew that's not in John I want to share with you, okay? So in the middle of this storm that Peter was in and the disciples were in, verse 28, read for me. Matthew 14 and verse 28, read that for me.
And Peter answered him.
And Peter, look now, see.
They're in a ship. And in the ship, the storm is splashing into the ship, and the ship is threatening. Their lives are threatened. They don't, an earlier passage, another passage say, they're not quite sure who they see is Jesus. They think he's a ghost. But Peter, sometimes in the middle of your storm, you just, Lord, are you there? Lord, sometimes you need to cry out and say, Lord, do you see me? Lord, are you aware? Lord, are you omnipresent? Lord, are you omnipotent? Lord, are you omniscient? Do you see me, Lord? Are you here with me, Lord? And can you help me, Lord? Amen. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, if you're with me, Lord, do what?
Command me.
Sometimes we need to do like Peter said, Lord, but at your word. At your word, Lord. I tried it on my own, Lord. I tried it all night long, Lord. I did everything I could do. I talked to the doctor. I talked to the banker. I talked to my landlord. I talked to my neighbors. I talked to my friends. Nobody can help me, Lord. I'm about to give up. But at your word, Lord.
Amen.
So Peter says, because he looked, he wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
But he said, if the Lord's there, I know who the Lord is.
Amen.
I know he spoke and this world came into the existence. I know he calls things that are not as if they are. I know there is a God. And if it's you, Lord, command me.
Yes. Amen.
He's not talking about the storm. He says, command me. You notice he didn't say, Lord, calm the peace. Watch this. In an era where people get challenged and run away from God, Peter says, Lord, command me to come to you.
Amen.
And Jesus said, what did he say?
Come.
Get out of the boat. Trust me. At my word, do the ridiculous. Do the insane. And everybody else is telling you to give up. Everybody else is telling you there is no God. And everybody else is telling you there's no more hope left. Peter's looking at his storm. But more importantly, he's looking at his God.
Amen.
And he's saying, Lord, you're bigger than the storm.
Amen.
I'm not sure what you're going to do, Lord. But I just want to come. I just want to get close to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's you, and that's all right. See, that's doubt. That's doubt. We have a good, healthy dose of doubt is not making it so bad. Because it helps us know that there is a God. It helps us get closer to it. And the Lord says, all right, your doubt makes you understand that you can't do this alone, that you've got to help. You need somebody else. And so he says, if it's you, Lord, command me to walk on my soul too.
That's right.
To do the impossible. Lord, help me with this. To do it. I want you to see God in the middle of your disaster. I bless you. And everything else is falling apart around you. So, we started with this image. That's what many of us are right now. I just want you to realize that whatever you lost in life, God can give it back to you.
Amen.
Whatever comes apart in your life, your health, your job, your finances, God can fix it because it's only stuff. What's important is your life. What these folks are doing, they thanking God that they survived the storm.
Amen.
They thanking God that they can see him in the disaster. They in a mobile home with no wings. They had a rough landing. I used to fly a lot. And Sam knows this. Here's the attitude of people who fly a lot. And when they compare the landings, and you know, sometimes you have smooth landings, you have rough landings. And I used to have this saying, Sam, I don't know about you, any landing I can walk away from is a pretty good landing.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
Any storm that you and I can go through, that God brings us through, that's all right.
Amen.
That's all right because God's greater than any storm.
Amen.
Come on, you're here this morning. You want God to bless you? You got to be a member of his family. You've got to be a member of that regime of people that God looks on and calls you all his own. And so to come to God, you hear, you believe, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, you put him on in baptism, you stop trying to figure it out yourself, let God figure it out. And see, you can't handle your physical challenges. And so which ought to make us realize we can't handle our spiritual problems. But God's already handled that for us. He just wants us to come.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him. So I'm asking you this morning, won't you come? Trust him. As we stand and we sing the song.
Just